I want to thank the Lord for the good meeting. I feel like it's been real beneficial to all of us. It's stirred within our hearts, and we have great gratitude for that. I believe that that's kind of been a general response and feeling to the meeting, that the Lord has sent His Word, and now it's with us, that we would respond to it. I have a message, I believe, this morning that is a message to the church, and the responsibility that lies before us, and I trust that the Lord will help us, each one, to be moved by that. In the 21st chapter of Matthew, the Lord give us a lesson here, and it's in regard to the work of the Lord. Starting with the 28th verse, Jesus said, "But what think ye? Or how do you feel about this? What's your opinion?" And then He gave a lesson. "A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether the twain did the will of his father." Now, probably all of us fall in one of those categories. There's only two. And the first was called or asked to work in the vineyard, work for God. And he said, "I won't do that. I'm not responding to the call." But later he repented of that and he went. Then the second son that Jesus referred to, he said, "I'll go." Submissive, "I'll go." But the problem is he didn't go. And so Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." The thought I have this morning is that there's yet a great lot of work to do for the Lord. And I feel confident that He's looking to each one of us, to everyone this morning that knows the Lord. He's looking at each one of us to work for Him. And we hear a lot of messages, exhortations, and perhaps we get stirred, maybe all of us, I hope all of us get stirred from time to time, and probably all have good intentions to work and to make our lives count for God. And a good intention is a good place to start, but we must follow on. And we must not only say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go," or "Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm ready to do," but we have to follow up, or we have to follow on with our response to the Lord. And we have to recognize that God has a place for every one of us. And I want to emphasize this morning that God has an important place for every one of us to fill in our work for Him, in our life for Him. I think many times people feel like, well, my lot in life, or my situation in life, or my calling in life, I can't do a lot for the Lord. I have these circumstances, or it could be health, it could be in our home life, marital status, or whatever it may be, that we feel like that I just am limited. I can't do very much. I want to impress on our hearts that God has a place for you to fill. And God has a work for you to accomplish in your life. And it is our desire this morning that when we come to the end of life's journey, that we can say with the Apostle Paul, "I've fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith, and I've filled my place. I have done my work for the Lord." The work that the Lord designed for my life, the place that He had for me to fill, I in a carefulness, in obedience, I filled that place. I did the work that the Lord had for me to do. Jesus gives us a lesson of two sons. One of them just didn't really respond that well. And then in consideration, he repented of that, and it said he went and he worked. The other is kind of like people are sometimes, you know. They just about agree with anything and everything to get the issue taken care of. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. But they never follow through. You've probably met people like that, that when you're with them or when you're conversing with them, just about anything that you would ask or talk about, they're willing to agree. Yeah, we'll work that out sometime, or we'll do that. But it never happens. They never seem to get around to fulfilling what they intend to, or maybe even express a desire to do. They never really get to it. This morning, I want us to realize that God has a work for each and every one of us to do. I call our attention in the Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, and the 10th verse says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And time is running out on us, all of us, young and middle age and old age. Time is running out as far as laboring or working for the Lord or doing what we plan to do for God in our life. You know, many times people have a lot of desires and a lot of plans and a lot of intentions, and we want our life to count for God. But we cannot continually put it out there in the future and kind of continually put it off that I'll dedicate myself more to the Lord and I'll seek more careful His will, His purpose, His place for me in a time to come, because that time will run out. And the wise man said there's no work in the grave. When life leaves this body, righteous and holy people are no longer able to work in the vineyard. They're no longer able to actively work for God. I realize that many lives live on and we draw blessings and encouragement for them that are faithful. But when it comes to actually working for God and doing what we want to for Him, that is in the span of our life. And there is no work in the grave, no knowledge, no device. When the Lord sees fit to relieve us and take us out of this world, there is no more we can do. And desires and plans that have not been accomplished just will not be done. And we want to be conscious of that today. You know, I think that probably if we were talking one-on-one this morning and we began to talk about the work of the Lord, no doubt most everyone here would say, "Well, I really want to do more for God. And I really want to serve Him better. I want to work for Him. I really want my efforts in my life to count for the Lord." And I believe that's the desire. But our burden this morning is that the Lord would teach us and help us not only to have the plan and the desire, but to be able to move on into the area and the place where God can bless your life and use you and work to you, and realize that He does want to bless and use each one of us. In the 6th chapter of St. John, the Lord again speaking here teaches us what to labor for. 26th verse, "And Jesus answered then and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, saying, The Son of Man shall give you unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." Labor not for the meat that perish. We certainly would keep this in balance with the gospel, and we know that the Bible teaches us as fathers and husbands that we are to care and that we're to provide for our families. But the emphasis here is, don't let that be the most important, or don't let that be the main thrust or the main action of your life. Labor for the eternal. Whether we're a mother with children around our feet, or whether we're working with the sick and nursing them, or whether we're going to a foreign field, or whatever the work that we're doing for the Lord, we're doing it for the eternal value. We're doing it for the salvation, whether it be children or whoever it may be. We're laboring to that end. That's what it means to labor for that which is eternal. And I believe that the Lord wants all of us, regardless of what our calling is this morning, to realize the responsibility of life. And I'm really here today to labor for the Lord. I'm here to labor for His cause. And it may be that I'm not able to be up and about. I may be writing letters of encouragement. I may be earnestly praying for the work of the Lord and for those, but that is laboring for the Lord. And so whatever the Lord has for us to do, we want to do it, and we want to recognize that this is where the Lord has placed me, this is the labor He has me to do, and I want to be faithful in that work for the Lord. In the 9th chapter of St. John, and this kind of ties in with the scripture in the Ecclesiastes, 9th chapter and the 4th verse, Jesus speaking said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And so the Lord, as He lived, He realized that His time was limited as far as being here. And He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me, for the night cometh when no man can work. And so that will be collectively, but it also is individually in our life. There is coming a time when you no longer will be able to work. At the span of your life, we don't know. Some people have a few years, some more. But that work that God intended for you to accomplish must be done in the space of your time, the space of your life. And the night is coming when really there is no more work to do. I'm not a farmer. I wasn't raised on a farm. But I've heard about in harvest time that there isn't a lot of resting. There's not a lot of dilly and dallying around. But many times I understand that harvest time, that those that work in the harvest, the labor, it's an effort that's just almost around the clock. And they just get by with just what little rest that they can get by on, and the thrust of their efforts is to gather in the harvest and work while it's yet time and can be gathered in. This morning, we're in the harvest time. We're in the closing of the harvest time, and our time's running out, and we want to be found working when the Lord comes. I thought of work. You know, some people don't like work. I expressed to some, don't want to embarrass them, so I won't tell you who it was, but I told them I like to work. Manually, I like to work. And they just shake their head. I don't understand that. I said, I like to work. I like to work till I'm tired. I like to see things happen. I like to see the transformation of what my effort is, whether I'm cleaning up a yard or whatever it is. I like to work. I enjoy working. But I realize not everybody enjoys manual work. And we live in a time of automation, don't we? When you hear about how it was 50, 60, 70 years ago, and people walked behind a plow and a horse, and how they just worked hard, washing on washboards and things like that, hard manual work. And today, we don't really work that hard in a physical way. I think we have more stress, but we don't work that hard. And I wonder sometimes in a general way if my generation, if I can say it that way, and those younger, don't really understand or know what hard work is, like our forefathers that worked so hard. And I convey that thought this morning into the kingdom of God. I read even in the history of our church, of those ministers that walked from town to town. I remember Brother Stover telling me how he walked from Guthrie to Shawnee. It's quite a walk in his young days. That was the only way he had to get there. And so he walked. Talking about working for the Lord. Putting forth some effort. Being willing to go forth and work for Him. I feel confident today that there is a lot of work yet to be done. But if we're not careful, we live in such a time that we just push buttons, that's about all we'll do when it comes to working for the Lord. And we want to be willing. We want to be willing to put our hand to the plow, and we want to learn. I believe the Lord can help us to learn better to work and learn the responsibilities that we have. You know, it's easy sometimes to feel like, well, you know, the elders, they'll take care of things and things will go on. But this morning, every one of us has a responsibility to fill, and we have a work to do. And we want to grow up and come to an understanding of that. In the 10th chapter of St. Luke, Jesus here, after he appointed the 70 and sent them two by two before his face to every city and place where he himself would come, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And he just got through sending out 70, didn't he? And then he says, the laborers are few. I wonder today what he would say if he is here with us. And we'd ask him, Lord, you know, you sent out that 70, and then you went on to say how great the harvest was and how few the laborers are. How do you feel about it today? And how should we feel about it? I wonder what he would say. We might say it's fewer yet, and the need is still great. He said the harvest is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers, that means workers, into his harvest. We're not really looking for those just to observe. You know, people get a little curious or a little interested, and I think I'll go over here or go over there and see what's going on, but I don't want to make any commitments, and I don't want to get too involved, because I still want to live my life. But I'm kind of curious about this, and so I think I'll go check it out. I'm not saying it's wrong to go visit places where the work of the Lord is going on. But what we need today is commitment. We need to be led of God. And we need those that are willing and ready to work in the harvest. And to labor there. And to let God work through them and use them and bless them in His cause today. I'm conscious this morning that we're living in a time when men's hearts are hard. And when there's a lot of chaos and confusion, and it's difficult to reach souls, I don't think it's as easy to reach them today as it was maybe 50 or 100 years ago. I know it is in our nation. But does that excuse us from our work? No, we still want to be found working, don't we? Still want to be going forth with where the Lord has called us and what He's chosen us to do and how He wants to live in and through us. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse, this ought to encourage our hearts, said, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And so, when we talk about working for the Lord this morning, we're talking about working with God in the work of the Lord. It isn't something that we just assume in ourselves and say, well, you know, this is my work, or this is my area, but I'm working with God. And that means I'm working with God's people too. See, we're all united in this effort. Maybe we all can't be at the same place, but in spirit we're there, and we support that God has led and directed. And so we have all heaven behind us today. We have all power, and we have God that we're working with. We're working together with Him. And that should encourage our heart. The writer went on to say that he beseeched that we receive not the grace of God in vain. That what we're blessed with from God, His favor, the truth that we have, the Spirit of God that we have, He said, I beseech you that you don't receive that in vain, but I want you to use it. I want you to work with me. I want you to work with God, with the grace and with the truth and with the Spirit that He's blessed us with, and with the Lord, we would go forth working with Him. I'm not exhorting today that we would in our own self say, well, there's needs, and I think I'll just figure out what I want to do and what maybe I should be doing, and I'm going to work out something for me to do. We're workers with God, and we're led of God, and we need God to help us to be and fill the place that the Lord has designed for each one of our lives. I want to emphasize in my little talk this morning that you are each one important in the work of the Lord. And I think sometimes people don't realize how important that is. They feel, perhaps for different reasons, well, what I contribute and how I'm living my life and how I'm either working or not working doesn't really matter that much. But in the plan of the Lord, He has it where the whole body functions and the whole body works. And wherever we are, whatever the Lord has called us to do this morning, it is important that we work. It's important that we fill that place with Him. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and the seventh verse, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." That is important. To everyone is given us grace according to the measure, or according to what the Lord has for us to do. Whatever place He has for us to fill, He has given us the measure of grace. And that is why it's real important today to work in the capacity or in the place that the Lord has called us. Because whatever it may be, if it's a very difficult place to fill, the Lord is going to measure the grace and the wisdom and the strength to fill that place. And if it's a place maybe not as demanding, He will measure the grace for that. And if we in any way begin to try to do a labor or a work that we're really not called to do, or a place to fill, just maybe out of ambition or desire, there's a good chance that we may not have the grace or the qualifications or the ability, and when that happens, people become discouraged very fast. And so the Scripture teaches us clearly that the Lord gives that grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In the 11th verse it said, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Some of the callings in the body of Christ, and it is the Lord that calls. It is the Lord that gave this to the church. And I have strong convictions this morning that whatever the calling is, that is the place to fill. In other words, this morning, that it is true that sometimes He would give more than one of these, but generally speaking, He there's one of these gifts or calling that it's evident that God has called someone to, and He'll bless them in that, and they'll be effective in that. And if by chance they decide, well, I think I'd rather do this, for an example, I might say this: if the Lord has called me to be a pastor, then I should work in that place, that capacity. Well, I might in my own self sometimes think, well, I think I'd like to go to a foreign land, and I think I'd like to be a missionary. It sounds exciting. I think I'd like to do that. Well, if I do that just within myself and leave the place that the Lord has called me to, I'll not prosper, I'll not be effective in that place. And so I want to emphasize strongly this morning, in working for the Lord, it is very important to know the place that the Lord has put us and where He's called us to work for Him. Because with that will come the power and the grace and the success, and it will not only be evident to you, but it will be evident to the whole body. Now when your body begins to misfunction, the whole body knows that, doesn't it? If your eyes aren't seeing just right, or whatever is not functioning in a proper way, it's not just the eye that knows that, the whole body knows that. And so it is this morning that while I want to encourage strongly to work in the Lord, the work of the Lord, also for your encouragement and your benefit and blessing, it is important today to recognize and to know just the place that the Lord wants us to fill. And the grace will be there. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and that's a chapter on relating to the body of Christ and being many members, one body, one spirit. The 4th chapter says that there are diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, Spirit of Christ, dividing to every man severally as He wills, as the Lord wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And so, this morning, the church, the body of Christ, is many members. We all have a place to fill. And we all have that which the Lord has blessed us and given us. And we need to recognize it. And we also need to recognize the gifts of one another. And to respect the gifts of one another. And the place of one another. And with cooperation, and even as our natural body is it, the members of our natural body are in one body, and how they work in harmony and work together and respect and recognize the function. My eye is not trying to do the work of my hand. And there's no envy and no jealousy between my eye and my hand. My hand, I'm sure if it could speak, appreciates the function of the eye and what it's doing. And likewise, the eye, the hand, and they're in one body, and they respect one another, they work together, and that's the way it is in God's church, the body of Christ. He wants us as individuals to realize that there are many members. We don't all have the same place to fill or the same work to do, though we all have work. And God wants to work, and God wants to bless each one of us in the place that He has put us in the body. You notice in the 18th verse it says, "And God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him." God is the one that sets us in the body of Christ. He didn't say we set ourselves in the body. You know, well, I always wanted to do this, and so I think I'll do this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the God of heaven, the head of the body, the one who is ruling and reigning in the body. It is His office, His place, to put us in the body as it pleases Him. In our natural body, there are some members that are more exposed than other members. There are parts of our body that receive attention or identification more than others. You ever hear someone say, "Well, I have a good head on them"? You know, the head got that attention. That's part of the body, so all the body ought to be glad about it. And on down into this chapter, I think I'll read it because it's real important this morning. In the 21st verse, it said, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, the feet, I have no need of you." Oh, this morning, how needful it is, every member in the body of Christ. Everyone that is born into the family of God and the body, they are important. They really are. And we can't say we don't have any need of this one or that. You know, the little mother that has several children, and she's spending her time teaching and being the example and imparting into them. Who was it said just the other day? Brother Bill McMakin's talking about his two sons that Aunt Vera Forbes sat with there in California, and he said, "I think they got more from her than any minister." Well, Aunt Vera was a mother in Israel, one that cared much for children. She ministered unto children. She planted the seed of the Word into them. You know, God did through her. And she filled her place. And she wasn't known as some evangelist or that, or great missionary, but she filled her place. And it was effective. Kind of wonder about it and say, "Well, I'm not sure we really need them." Well, If sometimes we make mistakes, we still need each other, don't we? And we need to recognize that. We need to pray for one another. We feel like that this one or that one's made a mistake or needs better understanding. Still that we can't say we don't need that member. We do need every member in the body of Christ. Now, I want to just briefly talk a little bit, not only about each one of us having a work to do and a calling to fill, but I want to talk about the qualification of working for the Lord. That I feel like that's as important as being called. In the third chapter of St. John, in the third verse, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that ye must be born again." To work for the Lord, one truly must be born again. They must be saved. The Lord said that except the person be born again, they can't see the kingdom of God. They're not able to discern or to know of spiritual things. And so, if there's any here today that you deep down know that you should be working for the Lord, and you had an intention to work for Him, had good plans, and maybe in your youth you did live for the Lord, and or whether or not, I want you to know the first step in working for the Lord is to yield our hearts to Him and to be born of His Spirit. You must be saved. There are a lot of people doing maybe good things, and maybe doing good works and making efforts to be a better person. But when it comes to working for the Lord and to understand the spiritual aspect of life, we must be born again. You must be saved. That is important in your working for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, as we are born of the Spirit and as we are living for the Lord, in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was talking about his work for the Lord. And he said, "Brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I wasn't really depending on my own self." And you know, sometimes people feel like, if I had more ability, if I had, you know, more confident or more ability, or like to develop more self-esteem or name it what you like, then I think I could work better for the Lord, or I could witness better for Him. But I want us to take a note this morning of what the apostle said, that in his work, he didn't come with excellency of speech or the wisdom of man, but I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's the way we want to work for the Lord. I may not have a great vocabulary. I may not have a lot of natural ability. I may be somewhat limited in being able to express myself. I may feel even inferior to other people. But if I'll go before God, and if I will seek Him and a portion of His Spirit and His power, and if I'm living a righteous life before Him, and I seek, as we've heard a lot in this meeting, the anointing of God upon my words and upon my efforts, it will be effective. And I think Paul, even being a lone man, it's even more remarkable. I didn't really depend on that, but I was looking to God and His Spirit and His anointing and His power to work in and through my efforts. Did you know this morning that mothers that are around their little children need the blessing of the Spirit of God upon their efforts? It isn't just conveying in a natural way, right and wrong, but we need to realize that's a part of the work of the Lord. For me to instill and for me to lead this child in the way of truth and teach them how to grow up and be saved, I need the power of the Spirit. I need the anointing of God upon my life and upon my instructions and the way that I correct and the way that I handle. You see, this morning, really, it affects all of us. One might say, well, I wasn't called to preach. I was called to work with my hands and support the work of the Lord. Did you know you need the Spirit of the Lord to guide you and direct you and to anoint your giving and your sacrifices unto the Lord? And I didn't come to do it in a fleshly way. I'm not like the Pharisees. I'm not blowing a trumpet. I'm not trying to impress people what I'm doing, but I'm simply working for God. And my efforts, whether it's manual labor, whether it's means, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm working for Him. And God is anointing that, and God is going to bless that. That may be your work in the body of Christ. You see, He has a work for all of us this morning. But we want all of our work to be blessed of the Lord. None of us can operate independent so that blessing from God, that anointing, that help from God. Lord, I may not feel this morning that I have a very important place to fill in Your body, but I need You. I really need You, Lord, to guide me and to anoint me and bless me. I may be nursing the sick and caring for them. I may be on the streets witnessing to troubled children. Whatever I'm doing for God, I need His Spirit. I need His power. I need His anointing to make it effective, to be able to minister beyond just the mind, but down into the heart and the life of those that God has directed me to, working for the Lord. You see, this morning He has a work for all of us. I want to encourage you to recognize that and begin assuming the responsibility more. Lord, I don't only want to live close to You just that I might enjoy a personal victory, but I want to live close to You, Lord, that my life and that You can use me and actually minister and help others know about You and come to You and to be saved. None of us can afford to fold our hands and sit back and say, well, I wish things was better. I wish the work was greater. God's work's great, and our responsibility is great this morning. In the second chapter of the Acts, and the 14th verse, day of Pentecost, and Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be known unto you, and hearken unto my words. This was the same man that denied the Lord, wasn't it? same man is so weak that he denied the Lord there, those little maidens, and cursed and said, I didn't know him. But there had been a change taking place. And he repented of that, and he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And now at this time he says, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third day of the hour. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet of Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and so on, in these days in which we live. Did you know that the Lord wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, upon all of His children? And I want to encourage us this morning to seek the Lord and to recognize, Lord, I haven't thought about it a whole lot, and I didn't realize that my place was all that important, but I'm looking to You, and I'm wanting You, Lord, to fill me with Your Spirit and bless me with Your anointing and bless my efforts and my labors as You direct and lead my life. And You'll fill your place. Remember, just comes to my mind, Dorcas. Wasn't she the good sister that made the coats for others? And the Lord took note of that. I can't think that she was trying to make a display of her works and trying to make a name for herself. But she was quietly, carefully filling the place, working for the Lord in that way. And the Lord took note of that, and He commended her. And it's a memorial in the Word of the Lord of her labor, her work. And so this morning, maybe that's your work. Maybe you're helping needy people. And maybe you're feeling that you're taking food to some that are sick and in need. And know this today, that that isn't going unnoticed. And that also is a part of the work of the Lord. And it's important. And it's important to do it as unto the Lord. And it's important to have His Spirit blessing us in that. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and the sixth verse says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits in working for the Lord. We only can be effective as we are partakers of the fruit, regardless of what capacity that the Lord is using us. If I'm going to preach the gospel, then I must live the gospel. If I'm going to tell you about the wonders of it and the power of it, then it must first be working in my life. And when I tell others that the Lord can heal you and you need to trust the Lord for healing, I need to be trusting the Lord for healing. So, you ever hear someone say, well, I have faith for other people, but I just didn't have faith for myself? I've heard that. The Lord wants us, in whatever our efforts are for the Lord, to be qualified, and He wants us to first be a partaker of that. In other words, we're not telling people necessarily in truth, I'm talking not just experience, but truth, what God can do for you. But I'm going to tell you what He's been doing for me. You see, God has been dealing with me, and God's bringing me to this place in Him. In other words, for an example, I would tell you that you ought to love your enemy. Maybe you're having a real trying time, and you need to love your enemy. Well, if I'm going to try to help you along that line, then I need to be loving my enemies. And it should be made manifest in my life. That's qualifying. If I tell you, brother, you need to be a little more patient, then I should be patient. In other words, I should be a partaker of that in which I am endeavoring to minister to be effective. That's what qualifies us. And sometimes maybe that falls a little short, and that will make your work a little ineffective. Kind of like the saying you probably heard, a father that maybe had a vice, a bad habit, and said, son, don't do as I do as I say. That doesn't work in the body of Christ. That doesn't work in the kingdom. It won't make us effective in our work to really be effective in the work, we must be a partaker of that first, to be able to minister and to be able to work in that capacity. So we want to think about that, too, as we live for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the first verse says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Did you know this morning that that really applies to all of us? Whatever the Lord has blessed us with, if He has given, called you to the ministry today, and given you the charge, and given you His Word and His Spirit, and you have that calling, you're stewards of that, you're caretakers of that in the Lord, and it is required that you be found faithful, that you be true to that. And realize it's the calling of the Lord and the charge that the Lord has given us. This morning, if He's called us to other works, if He's called us to care for the poor and minister unto them, then we're stewards of that calling, and God requires and wants us to be faithful. If He has called us, and I would say probably to all of us today, He has called us to be supporters as much as lies within us of His cause. And everything that God has blessed us with, we're stewards of that. Now people might say sometimes, well, I worked awfully hard and I managed, but you're still given that ability to work hard and that ability to manage, and you're still just a steward of what God has given you. And we must give an account of the calling or the work that the Lord has given us to do. And to one that has been called to labor with her hands and work for the Lord, they're just as responsible as that one that's called to minister the Word. That they be found faithful. In other words, when we come before the Lord, if there is one that's called to a foreign field and they fail to go, they wasn't a good steward of that calling, and they just refuse to go, they'll have to answer to God because they failed to go into that work. And if there are those of us at home that have been blessed and prospered, and God has given us that responsibility, that stewardship over the material things, and we have failed, and we have failed to minister and work and be led of God to distribute, we will also give an account of that. Didn't expect a lot of shouting, but it's still true. Saints, we've been in a good meeting. I think most all of us have been challenged. And we want to work as long as there's time. We want to work while it's yet day. And to young people, to middle-aged, to old people, this morning the Lord has a place for us to fill. Let us not be careless. Let us not sit down, fold our hands. Regardless of how important or unimportant you may feel, God has a place and a work for you to do. And we want to fill it. We want to be faithful. We want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I called you to this or I called you to that." And you carefully fill that place. You worked in that capacity. And we'll hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come and inherit that which is for you." May the Lord challenge each one as our desire and bless us.